Peace, grace, and mercy be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may be seated. You heard the gospel read to you, and this gives us two choices, two paths to go. One, to do what Peter said, and the second one, to do what God the Father said. Now, that seems obvious to us 2,000 years ago, but it didn't seem obvious to Peter, especially before God had spoken something. Now, let's look at this as Peter probably understood it. First of all, he knew that Jesus was a miracle worker. He turned water into wine. He caused this huge amount of fish to be caught. He healed people. But then on the other hand, Moses, he had grown up knowing about Moses, a very important person, and also Elijah, Israel's greatest prophet. And so what did he say? Let's do something. Let's do something right now. Let's build three tents. King James says, let's build three tabernacles. RSV, three booths, and now our text here, three tents. In the original, the same word for skin, and it brings to mind, and I'm sure the King James people thought about it, the tabernacle of old, a portable, movable worship center. Places of worship for who was it again? Moses and Elijah. And who was that third person? Jesus. There's no doubt about the worth of the other two. You can't do very much in the Old Testament without coming across these two. And we would think in the same terms for us in the New Testament era. We think about who wrote the most books, St. Paul. Who was really loved the most there in the Gospels? John. But then there were other unnamed people that we think a lot about. The widow, what was her name? We don't know, but she gave all her money. We know that. The Roman centurion who had such great faith. Jesus said, not even in Israel have I seen such great faith. We don't know his name. You know, there's a lot of people like Simon Peter. And that is wanting to jump in and do things. And you stop and think about it. Well, let's think about it later. Let's think about church buildings, since we're talking about tents or tabernacles or skins or whatever. When we build a church and we name it, are we honoring the person or its name for? My church back in Sevierville is St. Paul, a church. Is it built to honor him? Across the Lutheranism, you have all kinds of saints, Andrew, Philip, Timothy, and others. And in any city or village you go to, there's always a First Baptist, First Methodist. Here we have a First Lutheran. My all-time favorite in Sevierville for a name is Gum Stand Baptist Church, a church dedicated to the glory of gum trees. I think St. Paul had something else in mind when he said that in all things, Christ might be preeminent. Now, I guess I'm a fundamentalist because I believe all things means, say it, all things. Well, if you think I have a hang up on naming church buildings and congregations, you're right. I'm happy to say that the only church I started was named the Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Pineville, Louisiana. Now, naming a church is one thing, and it's a minor thing. But let's look at the other side of the coin. While Peter was still speaking, a cloud appeared, and a voice from the cloud said, hey, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Remember some decades ago, or maybe a decade or so ago, there was a fad among evangelical Christians. It was called WWJD. And for the most part, WWJD, what would Jesus do, was not that well received by the Missouri Synod. And think about it. We're supposed to do what Jesus did. So, or what he would do. So, Jesus is driving. He doesn't have a donkey in this scenario. He's driving a Mercedes, let's say, or a BMW, and there's a three-car pileup. It's very, very serious. So Jesus gets out and he heals those who are injured and he raises the one who is killed. What would Jesus do? Well, you do the same. I don't think so. Bad illustration. Listen to Jesus. You and I can follow his, not his example that way, but we can follow his advice. God said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Let's say that you have a problem with somebody. He's really hurt you. Two choices. Complain to everybody else. But what did Jesus say? If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Complain to everybody else? Bad mouth him? Or go to him and try to settle it? You have health concerns. And you've got this ache, and it's not anything to do with any exercise or exertion. So what do? You worry about it. Oh, my. What's happening to me? What did Jesus say? Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And you are much more worth than they. Why are you concerned? Why do you worry? You have financial concerns and you just simply don't have enough money to go around. What to do? Worry? Or listen to Jesus. Ask and you shall seek and you shall knock and it shall be open. Yeah, you know it. Do you do it? Or do you worry? You say, well, you know, that's all good advice. It doesn't work that way. I want to tell you it does work that way. Let me give you a couple examples. In my first church, we were a poor congregation. Dry wheatland farmers, 9 bushel to the acre. If you know something, that's a pittance. And this one month they came to me and said, we don't have any money to pay you. We had $5 left. It was a Sunday morning. My wife said, what are we going to do? I said, we'll put it to plate. We can't say one thing and do another. 2 churches called up and said, hey, we've got a mission festival planned this afternoon. We got a mission planned this evening. And the pastor who was supposed to come cannot come. Can you come and take his place? Yeah. There was my salary right that quick. In Germany, we took a 2/3 salary cut to go over there. And this one time, it was a week to go, and we had enough supplies for one more day. What are we going to do? Borrow, beg? The mailman came, and he delivered a check to me from my last congregation. They said, we've looked at the records, and you didn't take a vacation, so here's your pay for that month. Tied it over. And I could go on for quite a bit. Ask, seek, knock. Jesus is there. There's this feeling you have. Oh, everything's all right now, but you know, as soon as everything's all right, something's got to go wrong. You just don't have that peace. What does Jesus say? These things I have spoken to you that you might have peace. The world will give you tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. There's someone, I think everybody knows who that is in your own personal life. There's someone who's always after you, always pestering you, always trying to do you harm. And you're afraid of him. What does the scripture say? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, this doesn't speak to anybody here, but I'm going to share it with you anyhow. Sunday morning comes along and you feel tired. You're not your best. You got a little sniffle. You could take it to work for 8 hours, but you can't take it to church for an hour. You need your rest. So you skip church. Or you're one of those people, not anybody here, who thinks that you can pray to God at the end of a fishing pole or while hunting just as good or even better than you can in church. Well, listen to this. Luke chapter 4. And Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. Now, if Jesus went to church every Sabbath, did he need to be there? Was he going to learn something? Peter put it this way: Jesus lived his life as an example for you. Pretty good example. And if Jesus did that for you, you could do that for him. And then from Hebrews, forsaking not the assembling together of yourselves. Now, why in the world should we do things Jesus' way? Number one, this is all sufficient because God the Father said so. And if that's not enough, because of Jesus. He is your Savior. He's the one who has taken your sins to the cross and paid for them in full. Without him, you would still be under the law. The law, which says you must be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. The law, which says whoever keeps the whole law but offends at one point is guilty of breaking the whole law. The law, which says for all who rely on the works of the law, that means you're going to be good, are under a curse. Because everyone who doesn't do everything written in the law is under a curse. But St. Paul says in Galatians, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Now, while Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. In other words, Jesus is the Old Testament promise. Adam and Eve, her seed, will come and destroy the works of the devil. Elijah, the virgin-born son, and over 300 prophecies coming true in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the transfiguration. It's the Old and the New Testament coming together. Moses and Elijah talking about Jesus' departure. And what does that mean but Good Friday? When indeed God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, no longer counting sins and trespasses against us. So, listen to Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.